Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 113.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. This is our first episode of the new season, so let's do a quick catch-up. How are you going, Kel?
I'm good, but first I've just got to say, like, I just so wanted to say this is episode 113 just then, and again, I caught myself, and this is just going to be a thing until, like, we get to episode 120, I think, like, every single time.
But so, then you're going to have to go down the path of, do I say episode
121 or 121, just, yeah, I don't know what it is, but anyway, I have been.
Do you need me to take that off you? Because I can start saying it if it's going to be bothering you.
No, I need to say it because we need the contrasting voices at the start of the show.
That is true.
What have I been up to? Gosh, I think I've just been in book mode because one of the books that I'm working on is coming into its final stages. So it's like final edits, off to the line editor. Then I've got to like read, you know, accept or reject changes, and I'm doing the design as well, so I'm thinking about the design and, you know, tweaking the cover, and wow, it's it's been a bit crazy. But I did mention on a recent show that I was struggling to juggle my writing work with all the management I've been doing in my design business, and I just want to say that we have finally made a plan, Ant and I, and we've been putting in place that plan in the last month or so, and I can see a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel there, so cross fingers.
That's so good, because you've been really burning the candle hard this year, like within your own parameters and, you know, making sure that things are still working, but you're basically absent from the internet at the moment, and I'm noticing it. I'm like, Kelly doesn't do internet anymore.
Kelly is in like Straight and Curly people in the Straight and Curly group. Feel honored, because that is literally the only place I am at the moment. I'm not on my Facebook
really
page. I'm not, I'm nowhere except that group. So yes, feel special. So Kyles, what have you been up to other than, you know, growing a kid?
totally fine. Like, everything's been really good. Like, I've got lots of awesome work coming in, working with some really good brands on Smaggle at the moment, which I'm really excited about. Crochet Coach is going gangbusters. It's brilliant. I've got some great travel stuff planned. Yay. It's just, yeah, like, we had some friends over the other night and they were like, oh, you know, how are things going? And I was like, oh, it's, you know, it's, everything's great. Like, kind of super boring. And Ben, like, I don't know if I've said this before, but every time I say our lives is boring, Ben has a go at me. Yeah. He's like, it's not boring. He said, what you mean is like drama free and lovely and things are good. And that is what I mean when I say boring.
Oh,
and I shouldn't
how good is
say boring.
Drama free. Like,
so good. It's so good. And yeah, everything's just like, this is actually, I think, been one of the best years of my life in like the last kind of, I'd say 8-ish years. Like, yeah. I've had some good years, but this year's just really kicking it. Just like, health is great, relationships great, everything's just really good, which is
that's
nice.
That's awesome. It's, you know what, like, people often don't admit it when life is good because they don't want to be seen to, I don't know, make people feel bad if their life isn't, you know, swimming along. And I feel like we don't celebrate enough when life is good, and we know it's not going to stay like this forever. That's just the nature of life.
And also certainly not particularly this year. Like, talk to me at the end of December and we'll see how I'm feeling about life.
So I just think, yeah, it's so not. I've been a bit like that where we've had periods this year where things have just been quite in amongst them, you know, work's been super, super busy. As you said, like, it's just, you know, kind of juggling two jobs. But outside, I've been quite good at separating the line between work and business, although I will mention kind of in a later part of the show that I'm having trouble with that at the moment. But for the most part, it's just like, I work my butt off when I'm at work or at my desk. But when I'm not at my desk, it's quite chilled, and it's just been really, really nice. But do you know what? I don't mind working hard. It's the drama that gets me, and
Yeah.
The kind of last few months of this year have been relatively drama-free, and it's been so great. So, yeah, let's celebrate. Yeah. Lack of drama. Hooray.
Because this time last year we were both tearing our hair out. So yes. And we admitted that we were tearing our hair out. So it's good to have like the ebbs and the flows and admit when things are good and admit when things are bad. Even if it's just like so that people listen to it and know that if they're going through a shit time that you could fast forward a couple of months and everything has changed.
Yeah, that's right. Good point. So
we've got our review of the week, and this is one that just totally floored Kelly and I. I'm pretty sure I screenshotted it and sent it to you, but so this one comes from, I want to say, Melzy AWP, and she says, love it, thank you. I'm a psychologist and have recommended Straight and Curly to both patients and students. For patients, you make interventions so actionable and help put more of the good stuff into their week when they aren't seeing me. For students, you help give them insight into what real people do with research they've learnt about and show them how to talk about it in a way that's real. And I just love it for myself, for tips for me and for my future self and for ideas for my patients. Thank you. FYI, I am a latecomer to the podcast and have been obsessively listening to past episodes.
Yeah, I read that and I was like completely speechless and like I don't want to play favorites with reviews or anything. But yeah, Melzy, that just meant, I don't know about Carl's, I'm not going to speak for Carl's, but it just meant so much for me because, yeah, just to know that professionals kind of like what we're doing because, it was just lovely and blew me away and thank you so, so much for taking the time to leave that. So, yeah.
I had the exact same thought because neither Kelly nor I have any training in mental health. You can't really have training in life hacking, but we do a lot of mental health stuff and I think – particularly because neither of us have any training in that area, we always are very careful with the research that we present and the opinions that we present because it's a very loaded area and we are trying to help people and definitely don't want to do any more damage to anyone. So having that kind of validation from a psychologist is just huge because it just validates the fact that the stuff that we do, the intention behind it yes. is – pure, and that is what's coming across, and we are actually trying to help people, and I'm glad that that's actually working and in a way that is decent and like not doing any damage.
Yeah, that's right, because that is kind of our motto is do no harm, and I'm not saying that everything we've ever said or done is absolutely perfect, but as Carly said, the intent is to be real and not real in that like authentic way, hashtag authentic.
Hashtag authentic.
But real as in like we've tried these things. We don't recommend things that, you know, we haven't tried ourselves and, you know, we admit that not everything works for everyone, but we, you know, at least have had a crack at it and try to give our honest feedback. So, and also we try to acknowledge, you know, things that work in our favor as well and make it clear that we understand that our circumstances make it possible for certain things to work where it may not work for others, and we try very hard with that too. So yeah, anyway, now I'm rambling because I'm just like, oh my god, that was the best review ever. So Carl's cut me off with your random thing of the week.
So we were at the family farm a couple of weeks ago, which is near kind of Jarrowa, Kiama kind of area in New South Wales. And there was a fibre show on in Gerringong and we
There was a fibre show on.
Yes. So for those who aren't in like the knitting, crochet, weaving, embroidery community, fiber basically means it's kind of yarn, right. Really. So
this is not a farming thing. This is a knitting thing?
Sort of. So it was fiber arts include, I hope I'm getting this correct, but I assume in my head fiber means any material that has been spun out into yarn, but that includes the process of spinning it out into a yarn, yarn. So if you go to a fiber show or you go to like a fiber conference, there will be knitters, crocheters, weavers, macrame is included, and also embroidery and that kind of thing. So anything, it's kind of like thread craft. Got is fiber.
It. Okay, cool.
So yeah, I assume if there's any crafters out there, who's that lovely crafter? The sewing girl.
I know exactly who you're talking about and I'm having a complete mental blank.
I'm having a complete blank. Is it Melanie? It's M. Mallory.
Mallory, yes.
Mallory, that's the one. I'm yes. like, sorry, because the problem is that, like, we know exactly who you are when we do this, like, searching for your name thing. But the problem is that I've only ever read her name and I've never said it out loud. So, like, that's a different skill set in my head. Like, I can see it, but because I haven't. Anyway, Mallory, she'll be able to confirm whether or not. Is fiber included in sewing? I don't know. I feel like I've just gone total bum steer on this. Anyway, so we were at the fiber show in Gerringong, and in the distance I saw this enormous, like, it's the biggest dog I've ever seen, and he was just incredible. This, like, scrappy butterscotch colored looking dog, and that's just the dog of our dreams. We've just always wanted a big, giant, scrappy golden something or other.
I totally
that looks like
have
a giant teddy bear
in my head of the exact dog. It's like one of those dogs in memes where it's just like running towards you and there's just yes. like fur everywhere and it's so cute. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
Exactly. just like a giant teddy bear. So this was like the biggest dog I've ever seen, and I saw it in the distance and I went, oh my god, Ben, it's the dog of our dreams. And I just grabbed his hand and started walking towards the dog, and as we got closer I realized what we were actually looking at, and I screamed out loud, oh my god, it's an alpaca. And then I started like running towards this alpaca, and then the lady who owned it was like, she had tears streaming down her face by the time I got there. And I was just like, and he was the most handsome alpaca I've ever seen. He was just regal, he was elegant, he gave zero shits about me. And I'm there like trying to be friends with him, and I asked what his name was. And she was just like, oh, it's not a very exciting name. His name is Kevin. So I met an alpaca called Kevin, and it was just, it was like the happiest I had been in weeks. And I'm having a really great life right now. So this was like next level. And I just, it was just this beautiful moment of, oh my god, there's an amazing thing. And as I got closer, it was just so much more amazing.
It was already amazing, and now it's like 10 times more amazing than what you actually thought. That's awesome.
Totally. And also, that is another one of my weird things that I love. I love animals with human names. It just thrills me. I met a Labrador once called Judy, and I've just never forgotten her. I met her and I was like, you are such a Judy. That's just the perfect name for you. So, yeah, so that was my awesome random thing of the week when I met the alpaca called Kevin.
Oh, that's amazing. That is like, that's a perfect random thing to kick back off a new season. Well done, Kevin. Good job. Good timing too. So we're on to recommendations of the week, and I have a surprise for Carly. And I'm not pregnant. Just
that would be. Is it going to be bigger than that? More exciting than that?
Probably not. No, maybe now I've built this up way too much. But I have started F45.
No way! Yeah. That's so exciting.
And I kept going to say
it?
Something about it on social media. I'm like, no, I want to tell Carly on the show. So I've only been doing it for like 2 weeks, but I'm just like,
oh, welcome, friend. Yeah, what do you think?
I love it because it's just, it's made for me and my personal likes and scenarios. So I'm doing it 3 times a week, and I just love the fact. So it's so funny. The first class, I rock up like 10 minutes early.
Oh, yeah, you don't need to do that.
Because that's what I used to do for CrossFit, because, yeah, they want you to get there early, do a little bit of warm up, chat to a lot of people, blah, blah, blah.
F45 is like bang, bang, bang.
Oh, it was amazing. Like, everybody rocks in 1 minute before the class starts, and then it is literally like, bang, here's the exercises we're doing today. Bang, let's do the warm up. Like, bang, straight into it. And then literally everybody finishes and they walk out the door, and it is no dicking around. Sorry, any kids who are listening to the show. Lyndall,
we keep forgetting that. Sorry.
But, oh my god, I just was like, oh my god, this is the most. I mean, I loved CrossFit, but looking back now, lots of dicking around. Whereas, yeah, but F45 is just made for me. It is get in, get, you know, smash yourself, and then get the hell out of there. And, oh, I'm loving it, and thank you. And, yeah, do you know why I started it? It's because this winter over here in Perth has been so freaking cold that I just have not been – like, I cannot get myself out the door to go running. I can't even get myself into the garage to do, like, my little garage workout. So I was like, I need something.
To go to a place.
Yeah, I need to pay money that if I don't use it, it'll be a waste of that money, and I need to go to the place, and I just need to do what someone else is telling me to do. and then go home. And it's just been all of that, and it's been amazing, and I love it. And thank you for telling me about it. And F45, you should totally sponsor the show, because we'll talk about you every single week.
I am so thrilled. I've been going as well. Like, I did a lot of research and spoke to like midwives and all that kind of stuff. And as I've progressed with my pregnancy and they've done more tests and stuff, sorry guys, if this is an overshare. I was just about to say this, and I was like, is that appropriate to say that? My placenta is exactly where it should be.
I thought we were talking about something else. So that's good. Placentas are fine. They're inside.
Yeah, but that, like, that's actually a huge thing when it comes to exercise, because if your placenta is too far forward or too close to the opening or whatever, I don't exactly know what all that's about, but apparently if your placenta's not in the right spot, that can affect how much exercise you can do, because it's all about kind of like it supporting the baby. Mine's exactly where it should be. She's unbelievably low risk, and so the midwife was like, just go to F45, you can basically do anything. There's a few things that you're not supposed to do when you're pregnant, like hold weights above your head, but that's more for you than it is for the baby. So once I figured out like ab work, you have to be careful because it'll affect the baby. But look, so I'm not doing any abs, but I was not holding weights above my head. And she said, look, because I spoke to a physio, and she was like, look, you were really fit before you fell pregnant. You've maintained your fitness throughout your pregnancy. You know if you're going to hurt yourself. Yeah. So she said, just do everything except abs. And she gave me a few things to mix around. This is my advice, not for other people. Do not listen to me. If you are pregnant, go to your own physio, because you have to get stuff that's specific to you. But I've been going 5 times a week throughout my entire pregnancy, and it's awesome. Just in and out, I can change little bits, and I go to the one in Coburg in Melbourne, and they are brilliant. It's massive. The trainers are really supportive. It's actually been my favorite studio, and I've probably been to about 10 studios.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah. Because I chase it. Like, if I go to Sydney for work for a week, I'll find an F45 and go there for a week. Like, I do it everywhere.
Oh, I'm totally doing, like, nowhere, no matter where I go, I'm just going to find a studio and go there. I just love it. It's so efficient, and it's a whole body workout. And because as you get older, I'm 40 now, like, strength's really crucial to, if I want to keep running, because that's the other reason, if I don't have core strength and general all over good strength, I just get injured running all the time. And I like running, and I want to do more of it. So yeah. So anyway, that was a really long recommendation of week. But guys, I recommend F45. It's great. If you are a time poor person who just wants to get in, get out, and you do have to have a level of fitness. Yeah, I wouldn't suggest, if you have no fitness, just going there and doing it.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. You can scale the exercises, but yeah, in general, if you're a generally fit person and you're looking for something that's a little bit challenging and that's, very high in, you get a good bang for your buck, as in time and money, I recommend F45. Anyway, Carl, what's your recommendation of the week?
Mine's really random, but they're by Twinings, and they're called cold water infusions. So they're kind of like tea bags, but you put them in cold water, because I'm not drinking, obviously. And I'm trying really hard to watch my caffeine consumption, because for some strange reason, my child is heaps into caffeine. It's odd. Like, you can have a cup of coffee or like a cup of tea, but you're not supposed to have heaps and heaps. And I've never really had more than a cup of coffee and a cup of tea ever. And for some reason, now I'm pregnant, my child is just like, oh, can we have a Diet Coke, Mom? What about another cup of tea?
That's so weird, because it does normally go the other way around. How weird.
I'll be sitting there at like 11 o'clock at night thinking, oh, I could really go an espresso right now. It's really strange. So I've never had trouble regulating my caffeine before, but I'm really struggling now.
That's weird.
She's her father's daughter, unfortunately, yeah, totally. In that regard. So, it's just a really nice way to kind of jazz up some water, which is pretty much all I'm drinking right now, because, I'm trying to not have a lot of caffeine like you have in soft drinks. I'm also trying to not have a lot of aspartame either, and artificial sweeteners, which doesn't leave much in the beverage department. No. So, yeah, these are really good. You just like chuck them in. I tried the rose lemonade flavor. It was really good. Yeah, I highly recommend it, because I've tried to make cold tea before, but you have to brew it, then you have to wait for it to get cold. And then by the time it gets cold, I'm over it. And I'm really into instant gratification. So these are great. Yeah, I highly recommend them. And I just grabbed them at Woolies.
Cool. I'll keep that in mind because I'm trying to drink more water at the moment. So, yeah, Ant and I are on a big water kick. Sounds weird, but because I always drink like two massive glasses of water in the morning, but then I really don't drink much water for the rest of the day.
Same.
I'm trying to drink it all through the day now. And
I really noticed that if I skip the gym in the morning, so on weekends I don't go to the gym in the morning and I'll reach lunchtime and I won't have had any water and I will feel disgusting because I've usually had like 2 liters before then because I've been at the gym. So it's like water, yeah, I fully support your water kick.
Yeah, well, Ant said he has definitely noticed like he has better concentration throughout the day. So I'm trying to get on board now. So yes, noted about the Twinings cold water infusions.
Yeah.
So
yep. We've got it. If you were our best friend this week, this one comes from Jolie. It's really funny because people keep sending them through and like requesting their own J name. So it's my favorite. I love it. Oh, and someone commented on how I said Dugar. Apparently it's Duggar.
Yeah, that's weird. Come on. I know. Yeah. I know that our pronunciation is not right, but I think our pronunciation is better, just saying.
Yeah, totally. So she says, I have a good friend, coworker, worth noting that she was a friend before she was a coworker, who is currently going through a long and ongoing personal issue. She hasn't told anyone else outside of her immediate family what is going on, and I want to support her in any way I can. However, this issue has absolutely consumed her. It's all she can think about or talk about. It has become obsessive, and I'm truly concerned about her mental health. This is a situation over which she has no control of the outcome. There are also ebbs and flows of stressful periods, but she remains consistently hung up on it. During this time, our friendship has mostly consisted of her brain dumping on me and pretty much repeating the same conversation over and over. While I'm very sympathetic of what she's going through and hope for the best outcome, I'm having a very hard time being her friend right now. I'm relieved on days that I don't have to see her. I feel resentful on days that I want to talk to her about something, but it's quickly dismissed. This has been going on for over 2 years already, and the end is not in sight. How do I set boundaries? How do I remain a supportive friend when I sometimes want to tell her to shut up? I'm non-confrontational, so Kelly, I'm mostly looking at you for answers. I read that and I was like, I'm not confrontational.
Carly's actually really non-confrontational for such a badass. Like,
I really am. Like, I'm not into confrontation at all. I avoid all conversations like that. So this is super hard. I also think it's an unbelievably relatable question. When I read that, I immediately thought back to times when friends of mine have been like that, or coworkers have been like that, or friends have had friends that have been like that. This is absolutely not an isolated problem. And I was really pleased that we got to cover it because I'm sure a lot of people will take away some stuff from this. So I think the best way to deal with this is to say exactly what you said to us. Well, not exactly what you said, but make it all about her. So say it sounds like she's stuck and not moving forward, and see if you can offer to help her move forward. Make it more about helping her rather than I'm so sick of your bullshit. More along the lines of, this seems like something that's not being resolved. What can I do to help you resolve this? And if you keep using that kind of language, eventually she's going to get the message that she needs to do something to move on from this because she's not progressing and moving on from it.
Yeah, as Carly said, this is super, super hard. And I would try to say to her something along the lines of, you know, look, you know, I'm here for you, because like Carly, I too have been in this scenario, and I would say, look, I'm here for you, but I feel this is all we talk about and that we're just going round and round in circles because it's a situation you don't have any control over. So, you know, something you do have control over is how much it's consuming you. So maybe we could talk about that, as that's something I could actually help you with rather than a situation that, you know, you don't have any control over. So obviously this kind of conversation needs a very right time, right place kind of scenario to be offered
and
up.
I I was going to suggest like either, like I was kind of thinking maybe have a bottle of wine, but then I'm like also maybe don't have a bottle of wine because I could see that going very, that very pear-shaped.
Either way, yeah. But yeah, I just think if an opening presents itself, you might almost need to do it like a few times, like approach it, just plant a seed, then plant, you know, then water the seed a little bit, and then eventually you might be able to have a bit more of a frank discussion about it. But yeah, we feel for you because we've been there, and there's no right or wrong. Like, you can only do the best that you can do, but it's no fun feeling like, yeah, this is all we ever talk about. It's not, nothing has changed, and meanwhile I don't get to get any, you know, I'm not getting listened to. So yes, on to the topic of the week, and that is finding your passion. So Annette actually asked this at the end of last season when we asked for questions for our kind of Ask Us Anything show, and we just thought, look, this is something we both get asked a lot, and it was worthy of doing a whole show on its own. So she said, how do you find your passion in life? In my case, I've been on a certain career trajectory for 20 years, and I'm now in a position to make a life change, and I'm considering how to do that. So we've kind of listed out a few questions or discussion points here, and the first one is, what even is a passion? So Carls, what's your definition of a passion?
So my definition of a passion is that it's the type of thing that you get really riled up about. I also like to think of it as the type of thing that you can talk to someone about for hours and hours. Like if you're at a party, and for me, if I find another person who's into true crime or Degrassi High, that's a passion because I can talk about that for hours and hours and hours. And I also think it's something that you look forward to doing when you have finished all of your responsibility style tasks. So it might be something like reading or sewing or crochet or playing cricket. It's the thing that you look forward to doing in your off time. It's basically what you go to work for and earn your money for so that you can do in your spare time.
Yeah, I so agree with that. Yeah, because to me, you know something is a passion when you get excited at being around other people who just get it. So it's like me going to a blogging conference or a writing conference, and they're kind of, they're different things. I know they sound like the same thing, but
they're so different.
Being around bloggers where, like, so none of my friends are bloggers, none of my close friends, and they love me and they know that I blog, but they have absolutely no idea what that actually means or entails. And so I can't really talk to them about it. So when I'm at a blogging conference where everyone, I don't have to explain anything, like everyone gets it. There are subtleties and nuances and little in-jokes and stuff that everybody gets, and we can have a laugh together. To me, that is a passion. And I don't think passions have to be like these grand, noble things. Like, you know.
Lord, no.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, what Carly said, you know, it's Degrassi or it's true crime. Yeah. It's just when you find someone who speaks the language of that thing and you don't have to explain it to them and you can have a long conversation about it and you're so excited, like to me, that is a passion. And, you know, what are my passions? Like, you know, so blogging, writing, sport in general, you know, my footy team, I'm very passionate about my footy team. it's the lamest thing in the world. I'm in a Fremantle Dockers Facebook group. Oh, you know, actually that's the other place I spend a lot of time, in the Fremantle Dockers Facebook group on Facebook. You know, being around other people who similarly are lame in their love for a football team. You know, I love tennis. I love living a healthy life. I love my family. I love self-improvement. Like all these things, you know, suits. If I find someone who's going to talk to me in an informed fashion about these things, I'm just in heaven, you know. So
in an informed fashion about suits.
Yes. Well, I'm going to break down, the fine relationship between Harvey and Donna, you know, just as an example. Anyway, you know, I just think like anything that gets you excited. Like I love doing this podcast with Carly, because, you know, we have a passion for self-improvement and we get to talk to each other about it and we get to talk to other people about it, you know. And I don't know if this grand passion for self-improvement that we have is, I don't know, it probably is helping the world in a small way, but it's not, you know, it's not something that's noble. It's just something we do because it's fun, you know.
So, and it's because it's something that we do in our spare time. So this is kind of one of the reasons why Kelly and I came together, was because Kelly would read an article and then she'd comment. She'd share the article on Facebook and I would say, oh my God, I read that article. And then we'd both talk about it. And that's how come we ended up, because it's always been a passion to kind of find those little nuanced things that might just crack the code to productivity or your health or, you know, general energy, that kind of thing. And it's totally an energy thing, isn't it?
It's like when you are around people who get it, you feel energized, or it's something that energizes you, and it doesn't have to energize you in a, like a big sparkly way, but just in a, you know, in some
kind of way. That was like how excited you were to tell me that you did F45 because you know how much I love it. Like, and then we had this lovely sparkly conversation about it, because it's like, I love a thing, you've tried the thing, you love the thing, and now we can talk about how great the thing is.
Yeah.
Like passions are so great and they can be huge and noble, but honestly very few are, and don't feel like your love for your football team or your love for Degrassi High isn't important enough, because I think there's actually nothing more beautiful than people getting really lit up about things. Like, for instance, I don't understand sport, but I love watching people love sport.
Yeah, and I love sport, and it kills me when people don't love sport, because I just want to talk to them about it. But, you know, I find the people. I can talk to you about other stuff. But so there's another question, is like, do you have to have a passion in life? My answer is you don't have to have one, but the fact is you do, like, even if you don't think you do. And this is something, Kyles, do you find a lot that you come across a lot of people who are like, I don't know what my passion is. And first of all, they use passion as a singular when it's just so not. It's not. There's so many different things that we love and have an interest in and that light us up and energize us, you know, in big ways and in small ways. And do you feel like anyone who says they don't have a passion just isn't looking hard enough?
I have an interesting example, actually. So I've got a mate who is a self-proclaimed person who does not have any passions. She's a lawyer though, and she really, really loves her job, and she's very, very into her job. So anything apart from that is just not interesting to her. And she's tried all the stuff. She reads, but only because she kind of feels like she should. And like she tries cooking, and she's kind of a little bit into it, but also doesn't really care. And she travels and enjoys other people traveling, but kind of doesn't really get super excited about it. She really embraces this though, and she really lives vicariously through other people. And I realize I've made her sound like a not very exciting person, but she's really easygoing, and because she has no passion, she doesn't give a shit about anything. So she's up for anything. You're like, oh, hey, do you want to come do this thing? She'll be like, sure. I mean, she's not going to rave about it afterwards with you, but she'll be there and be involved.
But she'll give it a go.
She likes, yeah, and she likes watching other people indulge in their passions. But the thing is that she has one passion, and that's the law. And she's so good at her job. It's crazy. And she works 16-hour days and loves it because she's doing the thing that she loves. So I think everyone does have a passion or several passions. But if you are one of those people who has tried reading and tried knitting and tried cricket and tried tennis and tried a whole bunch of stuff, and there's nothing that's really clicking, don't stress. I don't think that you necessarily need to have, you know, a hobby or something that you're a particular expert in. And also there's no rush. Like, I know that a lot of people get really hung up on needing to find a passion. You know, you might be 60 before you discover that you like gardening or something.
And I just think they ebb and flow as well. Like, my experience has been like, I used to be very passionate in a very consuming and single-minded way about triathlon. Like, that was all I cared about. It was all that I did. It consumed my non-working and non-sleeping hours. It's where I had all my friends. And I literally thought I would do it for the rest of my life. And then I had kids and I was like, I don't want to do triathlon anymore. You know, actually it wasn't that. It was much earlier. I actually stopped improving. And what I actually found out later on is that it wasn't so much that I was passionate about triathlon, is that I was passionate about improvement, and triathlon was a vehicle for me to be improving all the time, because, you know, there was three disciplines, so you're bound to be improving in something. And then by the time I'd done it for 10 years, my improvements were coming so incrementally that I lost my passion for that sport, but I still had a passion for improvement. So I went and found other ways to get that, you know, chase that particular passion. So yeah, the other thing is that quite often what you think you're actually passionate about might not actually be that particular thing. It might be something a bit more philosophical. Can't think of the right word. So philosophical. Yeah,
it might kind of be an overarching concept that just is using that as a particular vehicle.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so it'll come at it from that way as well. So I guess that's a good way to say, like, how do you even identify a passion? And as I kind of intimated above, like if you get excited when you meet someone who you can talk to about a thing and they just get it and you don't have to explain everything, then you're passionate about a thing. And I think we just have to kind of take the pressure off passions a little bit, in that we don't, like, we'll go, oh no, that's not a passion, that's just an interest. And it's like, well, if you get excited talking to someone about it, I think it's more than an interest. But, you know, anyway, it's just a label. You know, if you want to call it an interest, you can, but it's probably still a passion. So I think we build passions up to be like this massive earth-shattering thing, when really they are really just interests, do you think?
It also seems to be, there seems to be a hierarchy in the world of passions where there's always a winner of a passion. There's always someone who owns the fan club of that particular movie, or someone who has the most books on that particular subject. Right. And there seems to be a real race to the top of fandom in a lot of things. And just because you're not the person who has a living room that's full of Star Wars memorabilia doesn't mean, oh God, are you Star Wars? I'm not degrading Star Wars. Bloody hell, pick a different topic, Carly. Pick
Star Wars and own it, man. Own it. Yeah. No,
actually,
I agree with you. Like, if you, just because you don't have the living room full of, you know, the memorabilia, does not mean you're not passionate about it. And I so agree with you that, yeah, there is a bit of a hierarchy. Like, people are like, oh, really? You think you like, you know, philosophy? Well, if you haven't read these five authors, then you haven't, you know, then you don't really. And that's really irritating. I can see why people feel like, oh, it's not really a passion because I'm not at that person's level of, you know, fandom, which is, yeah, something for sure.
So I did a little bit of research and found some questions that should help you if you're trying to figure out what your passion is. So I loved this one. What subject could I read, or you read, 500 books about without getting bored? So for me, crochet, hands down. I have so many crochet books. It doesn't, I love vintage crochet books. There's like a method in crochet where you use diagrams. So it's kind of an advanced technique, but once you figure out how to read diagrams, you're pretty much sweet. It's kind of like learning to read music.
Yeah.
And it's also it's the same in every language. So I can go into Japanese bookstores and buy any book that has diagrams in it. And even though I can't read the text, I can make anything in it as long as there's a diagram. So it's like that. That's, and also I'm the same with true crime. Give me any book on true crime, just hands down, I'll read.
Or even an article, like, you know, like if I, so I'm part of this Fremantle Talkers Facebook group on Facebook. And like, honestly, every single article that gets posted in that group that is about the Freo Dockers, no matter how much I know it's going to be just the most lamest, you know, two paragraph thing ever, I read it. With like everything there is to read on that thing, on my team, I will read it. And, you know, so it doesn't even have to be books. It would just be like, if you see an article about a thing and you want to read it, like, you know, I don't know, Roger Federer, I'll read anything, any article that pops up about Roger Federer. Do you know who Roger Federer is?
He plays tennis. Say football. I'm like, nope, that's
you
wrong.
You said football. I was cutting this podcast. Like, we're done. We are so done. Greatest sportsman of all time. Or maybe, yeah, that one's up for debate, but definitely greatest tennis player of all time. maybe him and Serena are level pegging. Who knows?
But oh my God. Serena's just the greatest person of all time.
She's amazing.
I just think she's fabulous.
We could do a whole podcast on her. But anyway, I'll have to tell
you. Actually, she's a bit of inspiration for me because I was a bit weird about the whole exercising while pregnant thing because, you know, this is the first time I've been pregnant and I, you know, obviously want to protect my baby and make sure that everything's fine. She won the friggin' US Open when she was pregnant.
No, the Australian Open. She won the Australian Open.
The Australian
Open. Yes. Totally. Do you know what she even was like? So, okay, so here's a complete, total, non-random segue or random segue, but something I'm very passionate about is tennis. I love tennis. Anyway, so Serena at the French Open, so it was like her first Grand Slam back after she had her baby, and she had a horrific birth and all this stuff went down afterwards. It was very traumatic. She nearly died. And so she wore this cat suit at the French Open. And it was basically to kind of hold everything together, this cat suit. So it had a medical reason. Anyway, the French Open afterwards said, you will not be allowed to wear that cat suit again because it's just not the right kind of appropriate gear for a tennis tournament. So anyway, Serena at the US Open, which is on now, has been wearing a tutu in every match. That. So good. So good.
Such a legend. Oh, I love her.
I love it. But anyway, okay. So, so you had some other things for how to figure out your passion.
The next question is you should ask yourself, what could you do for 5 years straight without getting paid? So if you've ever done something you really enjoy that you don't get paid for and you've done it for a long period of time, that's a pretty good sign that that's a passion. And with Kelly and I, both getting paid to do things that we're passionate about, everything that we've been paid to do, we've done for free leading up to getting paid to doing it. So I wrote for free for years. I blogged for free for years. I crocheted for free for years. Did theater for free. Everything that I've ever been paid to do, I did for free for a very, very long time. We're not encouraging you to do free things. We have an episode on this. We've got lots of thoughts on that. But it's more about doing it for free for yourself rather than for free for other people. But yeah, whatever it is that you spend your free time on, that's absolutely a passion. Another question is, what would I spend my time doing if I had complete financial abundance to do anything? So this is a great one. If you're curious about what your passions are, imagine waking up and you're suddenly a retiree at whatever age you currently are. You have complete financial freedom. You don't have to do anything today except the things that you want to do. What do you do with your day?
And it could be anything, like your passion could be helping people. Like I've seen, I think, a recent message in the Facebook group from Anat where she was mentioning that she's in a position to help a certain business that she's involved with at the moment. And I just think that that's so lovely. And that might be a passion. Like I have a passion for helping people. And there's so many different ways that you can do that. So that's another way that, like, that's a kind of an overarching thing that you might think you're passionate about, I don't know, doing someone's social media for them, but actually you're really just passionate about helping people. So there's so many, and I think that's exciting because there's so many different ways that you can help people and kind of also do it a bit on your own terms as well, because I think, yeah, sometimes a lot of the time, I'll talk about this in a sec, you know, when passions get taken out of your own terms, they quickly become non-passions. So
yes, yeah. They do.
So if your work isn't also a passion, are you losing at life, Carly?
Definitely, definitely not. So the main thing is that there's this is such a loaded topic.
I know.
So first of all,
that's why
there's
I made you talk first.
there's not always a way to make money out of your passions. And also, even if you do try to do that, as Kelly and I have done, honestly, it's really not what it appears to be. So take crochet, for example. I don't actually crochet for a living. I teach people to crochet for a living, and those things are completely different. Mm. So everything I make has to be teachable, and I have to make sure that every stitch is recorded and everything I do is doable for other people. I haven't just sat down and made a crochet thing in years. So even though it looks to other people that I sit around and, you know, mess around with yarn all day, what I'm actually doing is maths on patterns, promoting the course, taking photos, writing sales emails, all that kind of stuff. stuff. And the same thing happens with writing. So when you make your passion a living, you're not actually adding to doing more of your passion in your life. You're just kind of adding a lot of admin to an existing thing.
Yep.
So when you start becoming a writer, as Kelly would know, it's not like you wake up in the morning like Stephen King style and sit down at your computer and write 1,000 words. You're hustling, you're trying to book jobs, you're invoicing people, you're chatting to people about the work that it is that they want you to do for them. You're working on stuff that is probably not exactly what it is that you want to be working on, but it's, you know, sort of in the same ballpark, so you do it anyway. It's such a hard thing because, you know, we both love what we do and we worked very hard to get there, but when your passion is also your job, it's not as peachy as people think it is.
Definitely.
There's also massive, massive ups and downs in pursuing careers that you're passionate about. And as we were saying earlier in this episode, if you asked me a year ago if you should quit your job to become a freelance writer, I would have said no, because business was shocking this time last year. I just couldn't get traction on anything. I couldn't get good clients. The clients I had weren't really amazing. If you ask me today, I'd say it's the greatest thing ever because, you know, I currently have great clients and everything's going really, really well. So there's a lot of uncertainty in pursuing a passion as a career. I don't think it's the right choice. People look at it as like the thing that you sort of have to be
To be kind of brave at life.
Like kind of brave enough to do. And, you know, it's not the right answer for everyone. It's kind of like a thing that you have to do if you can't not do it. Like I've tried really hard to not do this, but I don't have a choice. This is the thing that I'm supposed to do. And it's tiring and you constantly have to be looking for work. And I look at people, particularly, you know, now that I'm pregnant and I've got friends that are going on maternity leave and they just get, you know, 18 weeks of full paid maternity leave and time off to go to doctor's appointments. And, you know, they can kind of choose to go back at 6 months or choose to go back at a year. Like that sucks. Like in my position, I'm looking at that going, that's lame. At the moment, I'm kind of like, maybe I'll give myself 8 weeks off for a treat. Like it's, you know, and I mean, it's fine. I've got all of my systems in place and, you know, financially we're going to be totally fine, but it's still that kind of thing. And it's, freelancing and working for yourself and pursuing a passion for a career is excellent, but only do it if you can't not, otherwise it's not worth it.
Yeah. I think that's such a good thing to say is if you do it kind of because you can't not. So yeah, I agree. This is such a loaded question. And just to remind everyone, the question was, if your work isn't also a passion, are you losing at life? And I do, when I'm kind of giving people advice around this topic, I do feel a little bit hypocritical because for my whole life, I have made money doing things I love. But I do also know because of that, how it's all, you know, it's not cracked up, or not all that it's cracked up to be. So, you know, I studied sports science at uni. I got what appeared to be a dream job in sports admin, like straight out of uni, like actually before I even finished uni. And then I quickly discovered that for all I loved sport, I did not love working in that industry. Like working in that industry is long hours. You're often doing the work of two or three people. I was trying to be a high-level triathlete at the time and having to fight to leave work on time because there was this culture of overtime, even though people weren't actually doing anything extra in the overtime. So, you know, I had to get out. You know, I still had a love for sport, but I did not want to work in that industry. And so I retrained in graphic design and I loved being a graphic designer and I loved being an employed, like a salaried graphic designer. And, you know, and then I went out on my own with my own graphic design business and discovered I still love being a graphic designer, but I do not love being a business owner. But you have to be a business owner when you go out on your own. So that's something to keep in mind. It's like some people just not cut out to own businesses. I'm not one of them, but I've learned enough over the years.
Same.
It's all about boundary setting. And I'm a slow learner, but I've learned to set better boundaries over the years. So I'm a much better business owner now. And now that I'm, you know, the work that I'm doing, editing and writing and ghostwriting, I'm running that as a business much better. But there are still bits I love and still bits I totally hate. And, you know, interestingly, 7 or so years ago, I kind of wanted to get out of graphic design because I was a little bit over it. So I explored doing feature writing as a career. And I quickly realized what a hard way that is to make money, and all full props to anyone who makes money in that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it was so hard and such, it was just constant hustle, 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 like all the passion that I had for writing just totally evaporated because of the environment. So I went back to being a graphic designer for money, and I went back to writing just on my blog for fun, and, you know, bang, that my passion for writing came back. So, yeah, I think the point I'm trying to make is the ideal combination is to have a way to generate income that you like well enough. So you want to like your work. You don't want to hate it, but you want, you know, the work to leave you enough time, energy, and freedom from financial stress to allow you to spend time on the things that interest you. And you know what? You don't know what interests you yet, because you're probably not you and Nat specifically, but you, the listener. Like, there's things that I'm passionate about that I haven't even discovered yet, because half of the thing is, you know, it's just being interested in something and following that thread of interest and then finding out a bit, like, who knew I would be so passionate about suits like 2 years ago before I even found it, but here I am now, you know. So this is the thing.
I totally agree. I think it's about finding that balance. I think a lot of people who want to change from their career to a career that they're passionate about are probably working way too hard in a job that they don't like. Mm. I have a crochet, as I call them, and she's wonderful. She's just makes everything immediately, and, you know, she tests patterns for me. She's marvelous. But she's a personal assistant for someone in Brisbane, I think, and has been working with her for years. She works like 8 till 4, and it's pretty cruisy. And she was a personal assistant for years before working with this woman, but she was a personal assistant for a man.
Yeah.
And then she was a personal assistant for a woman, and she's like a whole different kettle of fish. She's like, women are used to doing things, so I don't have to do a lot for her, because she's like, if you're a personal assistant, try and be a personal assistant of a woman, because they don't need as much hand holding as men. And this comes from a personal assistant. She said this herself, like in a whole career of doing this. And she loves it, and crochet is her passion, and every spare moment she has, she crochets, and her life is brilliant. Like, I met up with her and we had a drink, and she, like, she, you know, has this job that she really likes, and she does it when she's there, and when she's not there, she's not thinking about it, and she does all the things that she wants to do in her spare time. And I think that that is such a beautiful balance.
Yeah, I completely agree. So yeah, so that wraps up the topic about passions. We hope that was helpful to Annette and to anybody else who is looking at the same thing. As always, do come in the group and share your thoughts about our thoughts. But now we're going to go on to Kicked Ass for this week. And mine is going to sound a bit weird, doing what your doctor tells you to do. So ages ago, my doctor recommended that I should take a magnesium supplement and an evening primrose oil, because just really whack stuff was going on around the time of my period, which has never ever happened. So I took those things and they helped. And then for some reason, I stopped taking them. And I finally figured out, if you guys remember, like, I've been fighting these feral migraines like every time I get my period, and like the last, not last show, but the one before that, I was under the influence of some pretty heavy drugs to deal with those.
That was so
and
funny.
Apologies again for that episode. I listened back to it going, oh my God, what is this going to be like? We might have to pull this show before it even gets the air, but it was all right after the start.
It was fine. Yeah.
I sounded like I was talking in slow motion. anyway, I finally figured out that me coming off these two supplements is coincided with these feral migraines, and I started taking them a month ago, and look, I just had a trouble-free, migraine-free period. So anyway, Kicked Ass is I went back to what I was doing before, and I feel so much better, and yay, girls.
My kicked ass is just kind of everything in general. Like, work is great and health is great, relationship's great, future's looking bright. I'm loving having all my ducks in a row at the moment, and it doesn't happen often, but I'm just looking at everything and everything's really cruising. And for some reason, I'm just like heaps productive. Like, I've got a shit ton of stuff I have to do before the end of the year, but it's all, yeah, everything's just getting done and it's cruising and yeah, everything really.
Yeah, actually, I'm a bit like that. Like, I've got a lot on, but I am getting it done. So, you know, yeah. Let's not question it. We just must be really good at this productivity stuff.
Yeah.
Kicked our ass is, for me, a man called Ove. Thank you for the recommendation, Carly. Just like Eleanor Oliphant.
I caveated it, though. I was like, this is, it's a sad book, but it's great.
God, it's so sad. And so I'm just in bed. And what I read before I go to bed really affects my quality of sleep.
Oh, no.
So I'm just like crying basically and then trying to sleep and not sleeping well. So I finally finished it last night. It was a beautiful, beautiful book, but sad. And yes, I've gone and got myself like just a regular kind of action thriller kind of book.
Good. You need a cleanser after that.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, Man Called Ove kicked my ass in this last week. Carly?
Kicked my ass was the bloody glucose test for gestational diabetes. I get warned constantly about things since I've been pregnant. People are like, oh, this bit sucks and this bit sucks and this bit's awful. Seriously, nothing has happened to me. I'm just a regular person who happens to be growing a child. But no one, not one person mentioned how awful that test was.
I didn't have any problems with it, but yeah, interesting.
It was appalling. And I went in completely blind. And I'm pretty sure it's because I don't eat sugar. So
because I don't think I was off the sugar bandwagon when I had my gestational diabetes test. Oh, that's interesting.
It was a massive sugar crash. I basically came home and just went, I need to lie down. And then I just laid down on the couch for 2 hours, couldn't do anything. I felt so toxic. I felt like I'd been on this week-long bender. It was appalling. The good news is that I'm pretty sure I don't have gestational diabetes because they said they'd call me and tell me if I did. And they haven't.
They would.
So I'm like, yay, I don't have gestational diabetes.
No, you definitely have got a phone call by now.
Yeah. So, yeah, the test just threw me. But, yeah, feeling much better now. And that just about wraps it up. Don't forget that we do have a Patreon page. So if you would like to support the show, please go to patreon.com/straightandcurly. We've had a few more patrons pop up in the last few weeks, which is fantastic. If you could just kick a couple of dollars our way, it keeps us on the air, pays for our production costs. And if you love the show, if you give us more money, we can keep doing it.
Yeah. And finally, guys, jump into the Facebook group and share your thoughts about this week's show. We would love to see you in there. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.